Don't go anywhere. Our biblical worldview question of the week is coming up next on Mornings with Kelly and Steve.
Well, it is time for our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. And our question today is, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? Well, what does it say, Nancy?
You know, we've been talking on your show several times, making reference to the post-Christian, culture that we live in now. And the answer to this, for Christians should be fairly simple. But when you take into account the idea that the Bible really isn't truth, that culture reigns, then we have to discuss this question from a different angle. I had a conversation the other day with a guy who stated that with great confidence and almost arrogance that homosexuality is not found in the Bible, therefore it's not a sin and people should be fine with it. So his attitude was just get over it. He also informed me that gay people were born that way and they had no choice. And, it's interesting too, Steve, that in this culture today, on the flip side, is that if you're gay, you're cool. And so, again, let's go back for those who have not lost their minds and believe that the Bible is the Word of God. What does that say? And where does it say it, that in the Scriptures that homosexuality is a sin? And I think we as Christians need to know this and hear these verses before we get drawn into the idea that the Bible is not the Word of God, but it is. And this is what it says: you shall not lie with a male as a woman. It's an abomination. And that's Leviticus 18:22, and that's just pretty clear. But in the New Testament, we also read in Romans 1, 25, 26 through 27, for this reason, God gave them up to the dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. I don't think it can get any clearer than this. 1 Corinthians, however, just puts it out there in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Rather, the sexual immorality, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There it is. And keep in mind, though, that as we're looking at this, yes, it's sin, but before we get too puffed up about this, as Christians, we know we all sin. We are all found guilty before our righteous God. And it goes on to say this, and I think this is kind of cool, in Galatians 5, when we're talking about homosexuality, how quick some Christians are to separate that is the worst of all sins, and that's just not what Scripture says. If we look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the thing is, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. Now we get into jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, as we Christians look at this, we're all guilty of this to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I'm glad that you pointed out that list, Nancy, because the Bible is really clear that those who practice homosexuality are sinning. But then you look at that list, and what does Scripture say about the rest of us? We can't point fingers.
No, we cannot. No, you point a finger, and you've got a gazillion coming back. Mm-hmm. Because, again, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look, we've all sinned, but here we have God's offer for us, that we all can be justified by God's grace, no matter what sin you were in. So, and this goes for homosexuality, which is just a part of the bigger picture of what it means we all have sinned.
Well, Nancy, does that mean that God hates them?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And is there hope? Absolutely. Just like all sins, Jesus died for them on the cross. Those sins have been taken care of. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul reminds them, that is what some of you were. This is what I love about it. Were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And this is the thing, no matter what it is, God in his sovereignty forgives us. And again, I think it's important to note here that a person might be born with a greater need or being drawn to homosexuality. They just are more sensitive in that area, but it does not give him or her an excuse to act on it. And I think those that have been accused of being gay just because they might be a little more masculine as a woman or a little more sensitive as a guy, you know, this is an act of abuse to accuse somebody of that, because it is a choice. And many people who are born with propensities to addictions, to drugs and alcohol, they're, you know, they naturally steal for they just grow up stealing or lying or being violent. Just because somebody has a desire to do these things does not give them a pardon from becoming an alcoholic, for example. A person who is not a truth teller is not justified by the lying. And the same is true with a susceptibility to homosexuality. It is not genetic. It is a choice. And, you know, I think people say, well, it is genetic. They can't help it. No, it is not genetic. It's been proven it's not. So it is a choice. It's a choice to become an alcoholic and all these other things as well. It is a choice, but it is a choice when you act on it. It becomes a sin, again, covered by grace.
Well, then how do we as Christians, Nancy, looking at it through the lens of Jesus, deal with this? Because, you know, you just mentioned grace, and we do have a choice also. We deal with it with grace or we deal with it with judgment, and I think we can get it confused sometimes, so...
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, in our life that God, you know, he gives so much grace to the point that sometimes we say, Lord, we just wish you'd just really jump on this person, instead he offers grace. And it's interesting, too, that the Christian culture tends to err on judgment. It's so much easier to judge everybody else. You know, it reminds me so of a lunch I had with some golfing friends of mine. And the interesting thing about this particular lunch, that there were six of us there, and five of them identify as gay. And so it was interesting. And during this time with them, they asked me why I was the only Christian that they knew that wanted to be friends with them. And it hurt my soul when I heard this. You know, and I responded to them in this way. And let me tell you, they were shocked. And I said, it's because they don't know who you are. They don't understand that we all sin. And lying and gossip and slandering and somebody else or getting drunk or swearing or cheating, these things we all do are sins. You know what? Those people that don't engage with you, they forget that you are dearly loved by Jesus. They have forgotten that he created you like none other. And in the midst of the messes that we have made for ourselves, there he is telling us that he loves us. And that includes you. And he wants you to know him. And understand him, and understand clearly and believe that he paid the penalty for all your junk, big and little. He did that by dying on the cross. And you know what? He wants you to know that whoever believes that your sins were past, present, and future were forgiven, then your destiny will be in heaven. You can be free. And it's going to be a beautiful thing someday for you if you choose to believe. And needless to say, the table went dead silent. Dead silent. And then I said, okay, anybody want dessert? I mean, it was almost too much for them. But you know what? Since that time, they have remained very close friends. They're loving, they're kind, and they listened. And I pray for them that they too someday will receive the gift that God has for all of us.
This has been another great question, Nancy. I'm so glad we touched on this topic because, I mean, we really need to be well aware of what God's Word says on it, but we also need to be loving and to show grace the way that He showed grace so that they can know that they are loved. We're so quick to judge.
I agree. They are human beings, awesome human beings, mm-hmm. created in the image of God. And there again, the charge goes out to the Christians. Come on, let's embrace people who are different. Let's love them. Let's not hold back. And let's share the good news with them without judging.
Well, if you want to find out more details about Anchors Away, I want to encourage you to go on over to anchorsaway.org. You'll find all sorts of information there, as well as contact information, how you can get a hold of them, as well as reach out. And maybe if you've got a question, maybe just ask it directly of Nancy. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for spending more time with us and taking this on.
Well, thank you so much. You know, these are great times that I have with you both, because we just don't talk enough about this, give people enough hope, and you guys do this every day. So thank you for what you're doing.